Psalm 139. Every human life, everyone is important to God.
Amen.
That's easy to say when you look around in here.
Right.
But when you go outside, the homeless people, their lives are important to God.
Amen.
In prison,
Amen.
Their lives are important to God. Every single life, every single life is important to God. Wrong ideas about God lead us to a wrong idea about who we are and what we should do. Wrong ideas about God. This Psalm 139, let me read the first six verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether.
Amen.
You have hedged me in, behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful. It is high. I cannot attain it.
Right.
You searched me. He says, I can't even do this part justice, because he says such knowledge is too high for me. I cannot attain it. But he searched me. He looked for me carefully. He examined me carefully, like digging deep in a mine and exploring land and investigating a legal case. The idea of exploring land, I couldn't help but remember when I was a child. We were at my grandparents', and if you would go out on a piece of land, me and my cousins, we would explore. If it was new for the first time, we'd explore that land forever. And it would just the idea is that he knows the most intimate things about us, that he knows us better than we even know ourselves, and his ways are best. Lord, you have searched me. You have known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts far off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. This is like saying, you know me from the waking up until I lay down and go to bed. And all my thoughts, you are acquainted with all my ways. You know everything that there is about me. He knows from the moment we get up until we lie down. You may not give one thought to God, but I can tell you what,
Amen.
He gives a thought to you.
Glory.
He knows you. He knows what's in your heart and in your mind. His ways are best. Look at his words. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You know the words on my tongue. That's not always amen. That's not always amen, but you know him. He knows him. He knows us. He knows everything about us, our rising up, our laying down, our going forth, our coming back, the words on our... He's hemmed us in. Look at this. You have hedged me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. It's like our lives, and it's like he's done this around our lives. There's his hand in back, and his hand in front, and we go this way, or we go this way, or we go this way. He's hedged us in. He's hemmed us in. There's nothing we can do. You know what verse 6 says? Mind blown.
Amen.
Mind blown. That's what verse 6 says. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain it. Matthew 5. You see, when we start thinking about the value of a human life, taking that life becomes important to us. And what we do and how we treat that life becomes important to us. Matthew 5:21 says that murder begins in the heart, and it begins in the mind. You have heard that it was said of old, "You shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of judgment." But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, "Raca," shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, "You fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. You ever call somebody a fool? An idiot? You ever rock them is way to say empty head? We have committed murder in our hearts. That is stupid. That guy's stupid. He's an idiot. You idiot. How many of you have said that? You haven't, but I have. He was a life for which God made. Murder begins in the heart, and it begins in the mind. And I've done this in such a way that I'm going to break this down. And I've started with murder, and I'm going to go. But they all apply to all three of these things that I'm going to talk about. The next I'm going to talk about is suicide. Taking your own life. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even at night shall be light unto me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide you, but the night shines as a day, and the darkness and light both are like you. There is nowhere, even in death, you cannot escape God. You cannot escape him. And I realize that you may say, "Well, Brother Keith, what do you know about it?" Well, you might be surprised. I've been in prison. I know what it's like to lay in bed and to pray I would never wake up. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to lay down and finally get some peace for whatever that's worth and to pray that I would never wake up. I know. I know what it's like for you, and I know what it's like to be in that darkness. But the darkness is nothing but day to God. The darkness, we can't hide. Where can I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. It does not end it. It doesn't. Without Christ, you'll have to face it every day. Every day. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Ecclesiastes 11:5. I'm going to do well. Let me get Ecclesiastes first. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of the Lord, who makes everything. You do not know God's ways. Isaiah 49:5. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant. Who formed me from the womb to be his servant. I want you to catch that. He formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel is gathered to him. He has formed you from the womb to be your servant. And you can sit there and it can be dark and it can be really dark and you can sit there and you can blame God. And when you get to the bottom and you've got nothing else to do, you turn to God and you give him your life to be a servant of life. Listen, I'm not telling you that your problems go away. Your problems will still be there, but you will have a peace unlike any peace before ruling in your heart. Amen. And in your life. It is, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. It is one of the most selfish things that you can do. And if you don't believe it, you just stand up here at a funeral and you look at the spouse and you look at the children and you look at everyone and you'll realize, you know, there's a verse down there, verse 23, Psalm 139, verse 23. It says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxiety. Know my anxieties. You see, this came about like it did because we are living life selfishly. Selfishly. We live selfishly. And we live so selfishly that there's nothing that we can do. We live so, everything's about me. Everything, here I am and this is the world and it revolves around me. Even the night, the darkness shall not hide you from me. But the night shines as day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. And my frame was not hidden for you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. I'm going to tell you something. A single fertilized cell, a single cell fertilized. By the way, human body has 30. Don't give me the line. 30-something cells. But a single cell fertilized, the moment it's fertilized, it has a unique genotype. It's already written in the code what sex it's going to be, what the size it's going to be, what the shape it's going to be, what skin color it's going to have, what color hair it's going to have, what color eyes it's going to have, its temperament and its intelligence. About 3 million, by the way, sales for adult. And its intelligence. All of that, the moment it's conceived, the moment there's fertilization goes into it. Three and a half weeks. That's a little heartbeat. That's the way I do it anyhow. I don't know if that's the way it really sounds. That's the way I do it. 3.5 weeks. That little baby's got a heartbeat. 4 weeks, he's got a body that's distinguished between the head and the body. It's got little ears. It's got a mouth. It's pretty cool. 6 to 7 weeks, some brain function. At 6 and 7 weeks old, got some brain function going on. It's got a limb. It's got a finger. This one blew my mind. It's got fingerprints. The things that make you individual, fingerprints. The you makes you you. At 8 weeks old, that baby had it. At 8 weeks old, it's got toes. At 9 to 10 weeks, it can swallow. It can suck its thumb. The first trimester, it can alter its position, can respond to pain, respond to light, noise, and it can hiccup. Second, third trimester, it's just a development of all of that, everything that's been in place. Hair, eyelashes, fingernails, cry, punch, kick. God is present at conception as he is at birth. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. He literally leaped in his mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:5. I've got some verses down here and I don't want to forget them. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified. Before I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before he formed him in his mother's womb, he did all that. The passage I read in Ephesians said, before the foundations of the world, you are already in God's heart. Taking that little life, abortion, I don't even know what to say because I don't understand. I do understand being in a situation where you feel helpless and hopeless, where you feel all alone. I do understand. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let me tell you what our job is, church. It's to come alongside women who are pregnant. And they may not want the baby. They may want the baby, but they may just feel alone. It's our job to come alongside them and to walk with them down that road.
Amen.
What about if it's not wanted? Baby's not wanted. Okay? I get that. It's our job. Because once again, to end that life is to end a life, a real human life that was made in the image of God, that was made for the purposes of God and was made to be a servant of God. I broke this down, but all those verses apply to every one of them. We got to walk with them the whole way. From conception to birth, we've got to walk with them. And if they want to give it up, there are some in here that would adopt. Psalm 130, verse 4, and you know, no matter where you fall in this, whether you are a murderer, whether you use your thoughts to murder, whether you have contemplated suicide, whether you have had an abortion or whatever, it says, if you, Lord, Psalm 133 and 4, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you.
Amen.
That you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. I have another verse written down here. I want to see what it says. You know, the life is valuable to God.
Amen.
And the life should be valuable to us. There's nothing more important to God than the life. The human life. It should be the same for us. Stand up with me if you would. We're going to sing Just As I Am in a minute. I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. You can sing it. You probably know it. It's that famous. Sing along if you know it. They're going to be singing it. I don't know. Life has value to God. Not just ours, but everyone's. If you need to come. If you need to kneel at the altar, you can kneel and pray. If you'd like to talk to me, I'd like to talk to you. Come.